Good morning. And welcome to our covenant service this morning here at Water Lane. Welcome especially to anybody who's joining us for the first time or visiting us. There will be coffee after the service as usual, and there will be Sunday kids for any young people who are here later on. Just one notice, there will be a retiring collection at the end of the service. This will be for the Benevolent Fund, which is a fund which we keep, which is used entirely at the Minister's discretion to meet any urgent needs that she becomes aware of. So that will be the retiring collection today. And we welcome to lead our service Katie, who will lead the service after the introit from the choir.
Let us pray. Lord, we come because we love you. We come to know you more. We come because we know our need for you. And we want to choose to live in your ways. Accept our prayers and our heart's desire to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. There are some flags here, if any of the children want to, young people want to use them gently as we sing.
Oh,
People come to know Jesus in different ways. Some have known Jesus since birth, and others only come to know Jesus later in life. I baptized an adult some years ago who'd spent 9 years searching and reading and inquiring until he suddenly felt that it was something that he needed to do to make that decision to follow Jesus. I also took a service for somebody who hadn't been looking at all, but had had this completely unexpected experience that changed her life. I really like some of the prayers that are part of the Christmas communion service that recognise the very different experiences of those who come to know Jesus. Unlooked for, Christ comes. Searched for, Christ comes. Longed for, Christ comes. Prayed for, Christ comes. Let's pray. Unlooked for and searched for, longed for and prayed for. Loving God, come to us now as you have come to your people in every age. We thank you for all who have reflected the light of Christ and helped us to come to know you. We thank you that you love us and take delight in us. As we choose to respond to your love and renew our desire to follow Jesus in how we live our lives, grant us your strength, your wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I used to be called by my family as indecisive. I'm sure they called me other things as well as indecisive. Any of the young people know what it means to be indecisive? Any thoughts? Can't make up your mind over there. Well, how to say what indecisive? Because indecisive is when you've got so many decisions and you can't really decide or work out which is the best one. And we've got so many choices every single day, haven't we? What socks to put on? What to have for breakfast? So many choices. There are choices at school, maybe, who you sit next to, who you play with at break time. So many choices of things to what to eat and how to use our money. Should I give away my money or should I keep it for myself? There you are, so £10, there you are. I can choose to give it away. And I'm sure some of the others might be able to sample some of my money later on. And, you know, there was an American Indian chief who said, sometimes it felt like there were two fierce dogs inside him, both pulling one way and pulling the other way. And somebody asked him, which dog wins? And he said, the one I feed the most. Perhaps the one I encourage the most or I choose to listen to. Some choices are really easy, aren't they? And some are difficult. Sometimes it's the right choices that are difficult. You know, if I offered you an orange or chocolate, a plate full of cake and sweets or a plate full of grapes and oranges. We know what the right decision is, but sometimes it's hard to make that one, isn't it? Because we're tempted by all of the nice good things to eat. Sometimes there are difficult choices to make, but especially the right choices. We always need to see if we can't we, to make the right choice, even though it is sometimes hard. And we can ask Jesus and pray about it to have the help that we need. In our service today, the adults are reflecting on our choice to follow Jesus. And that isn't always easy. But we make the choice to follow Jesus, knowing that he loves us utterly, he's always there for us, and will guide us and give us the wisdom that we need, the strength that we need, and the grace that we need for all the choices that we make once we are following and walking with him. This song that we're going to sing says, and it has some actions. Some of them are, we've sung it before, so some of you might remember it. Some of them are sign language. It goes, King of love, praise you. King of love, worship you. King of love, thank you. I'm treasure in your eyes. I know my heart will love you forever. I know your word. I'll always be your child. I know my soul is safe for eternity because you hold me close in your arms. So, going to stand and sing. There's quite a bit of extra music where you can just, and there's a gap in the middle where you can think of the things that you want to say thank you to God for this morning.
Thank you.
of love, we worship and praise you, and we thank you that we are treasure in your eyes. We thank you that you love us so much. We ask your blessing on our children and young people, that they will continue to grow in your love, to grow strong in all the choices that they make in your name. So bless them as they gather together to worship and learn more about you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Luna, do you want to take these with you? And you can have the choice of whether you keep it or share it. That's a challenge. Thanks, Luna. Do you want to join Emma with the Sunday kids? Yeah, lovely. Before our reading, got something else before our reading, if you'd just like to see. I had read a letter that I thought would be good to show you, relating to the theme of searching and knowing. And there are all sorts of different versions online about how this letter came to be, and I'll read it out for you in a moment. That basically, a six-year-old girl came to her dad with the question, who invented God? And because he didn't know the answer, he decided to send it off to various church leaders. Various churches didn't reply at all. One church sent a very complex theological exposition on the answer. But I liked this reply, which was from the then Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. Dear Lulu, your dad has sent on your letter and asked if I have any answers. It's a difficult one, but I think God might reply a bit like this. Dear Lulu, nobody invented me, but lots of people discovered me and were quite surprised. They discovered me when they looked around at the world and thought it was really beautiful or really mysterious and wondered where it came from. They discovered me when they were very, very quiet and on their own and felt a sort of peace and love that they hadn't expected. Then they invented ideas about me, some of them sensible and some not very sensible. From time to time I sent them hints, especially in the life of Jesus, to help them get closer to what I'm really like. But there was nothing and nobody around before me to invent me. Rather like somebody who writes a story in a book, I started making up the story of the world and eventually invented human beings like you who could ask me awkward questions. And then he'd send you lots of love and sign off. I know he doesn't usually write letters, so I have to do the best I can on his behalf. Lots of love from me too, Archbishop Rowan. Isn't that a lovely letter and a lovely response? One theologian read some years ago described, you know, faith as a seed that's been planted within us. It causes us to reach out, to search, until we know and discover something of the mystery of God's love. Whether that be through creation, through spending time in stillness, through reading God's word. When it came to the time of John the Baptist, people had been waiting for a long time to hear the voice of a prophet. People were longing and searching and hoping to know. And so when John the Baptist spoke, many went out to hear his word.
New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, 21 to 22. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Amen.
I had an adult baptism as part of my covenant service last Sunday, which was really special. I mean, many of us were baptized as infants, and so for us a moment of decision might be in a confirmation or membership service. But there are times, aren't there, when there's a need to mark our faith and our choosing to follow Jesus. It was a really special day last week. The baptism of John the Baptist is an interesting one because it wasn't about conversion. The people who were coming to him were already Jews. It wasn't about making them Jews. But it was offering them something that could show a commitment on their behalf to make a decision to focus on God and his love for their living. It was offering them a chance to mark that desire for renewal, a desire for a new way in their lives and a new beginning. I don't know why John the Baptist had gone out into the desert. He was the son of a priestly class. His father was a temple priest, and John would have grown up expecting to be a temple priest. He may have even trained to be in that role. He may have gone out into the desert seeking something purer, may have been angered by the corruption he saw in the temple. But certainly out in the desert, if not before, he sensed that real call of God on him to point the way to Jesus. It was amazing that he was offering that sort of purification or rite of faith out in the desert and not in the temple. It was quite a stunning thing for him to do, which brought the animosity of Jerusalem leaders, thinking, why is he offering something of God out there when God's here in the temple? John perhaps recognized that rules were no longer important and the traditions that had been, but what was more important than anything was a change of heart and a desire to know God, and that could happen anywhere. The other amazing thing about John the Baptist is he let go of ego completely. He had crowds of people gathering around him, but instead of wanting to have them more to himself, he changed their direction and pointed them to Jesus. Then Jesus comes and chooses to be baptized by John. I think that always makes us wonder, doesn't it? Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Why did Jesus choose to be baptized? Was it to share in the human experience, which we all need to go through at some point in decision making for our hearts to be transformed? Or was he choosing to do something that marked the initiation in his own life of something new? Something that affirmed John's vision, that would continue John's vision. Jesus at that point is making a choice, and he had a choice to take on the call of his father. Now was the time for his ministry to begin. His baptism is followed by his journey out into the desert. And you don't go out into the desert for 40 days for nothing. The baptism marks perhaps the start of his ministry, his decision and choice to begin his ministry at that point in time, followed by a time of preparation in the desert. The other significant reading in that passage are the words that Jesus hears God speak. My son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. Now, I'm going to come back to those words in a moment. But when I sat down to prepare for this message, the two things I picked up, both were about prison ministry, and they drew my attention. The first one was about the work of a chaplain, Liberty. What a lovely name for a prison chaplain, Liberty, Liberty Harris, and her work in Pentonville Prison. And the article gives these two quotes from two different prisoners who accessed the chaplaincy service. The world doesn't accept us, but Liberty does. How can someone have such a big heart for people, and not even regular people, but criminals in a Category B prison? That's why I want to be a Christian. Someone has accepted me despite what I've done in the past. Liberty has been a big part of me getting myself back on track. And another gentleman who'd started attending the chaplaincy service said, I felt welcomed and accepted, even though I shouldn't be. I don't feel right being forgiven, but at the same time, I want direction. I want to choose to do something good while I'm in here. The article goes on to describe how Liberty shows these men who Jesus is and how they begin to see the world and their lives differently. I put down that article and turned to Richard Rohr looking for information about baptism. And he began his writing about baptism by talking about his 14 years as a prison chaplain in US jails. He said, apart from the many that should not be there in the first place, he reflects that the great mistakes of many of them were in part because they never heard what Jesus heard. They never heard a parent say, you are my beloved child. I delight in you. I'm pleased in you. They never heard or knew love as children. We know just how important it is, don't we, the role of parents and adults in family relationships to show that love and affirmation to our children. We don't know if the crowds heard what Jesus heard. We'd heard that he'd been praying following his baptism. Maybe John heard those words, the disciples too. The important thing about them was that they provide the foundation necessary to send Jesus into the wilderness with the knowledge that he was the beloved Son of God in whom God was pleased. Rohr reflects that one of the main purposes of the gospel is to tell you one eternal truth, that you are a beloved child of God, and no one can take that away from you, only you by not believing it. That foundation of love enables everything else good to follow. Perhaps the culture of the church in the past in different countries, perhaps the church has failed to let people know that they are inherently good. Instead of saying you need to work to prove it, you need to earn it, we sometimes forget grace. I don't fully understand why Jesus chose to be baptized, but there's certainly something special in his choice, choosing baptism as a mark of the starting point of his desire to share God's love with us, a love that was confirmed in that moment of choice through those words. According to the church tradition, we can only be baptized once, but there is a need sometimes, isn't there, to mark our journeys in faith. In the Numa group on Wednesday, we were discussing this, and somebody said, well, covenant is that for us, isn't it? Covenant is for us that opportunity to respond, to renew our commitment, to be reminded afresh of God's love for us, to say yes once again, or perhaps even for the first time, to say yes to God's love, and yes, I choose to follow. I'm going to hear two short readings that are part of the covenant service from Jeremiah and from the letter to the Romans.
Jeremiah chapter 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. And from Romans chapter 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen.
I had another special service last night. The adult who was baptized last week renewed her marriage vows with her husband last night. It was really lovely that her commitment to God was followed by renewing her vows of commitment to her husband, to her children. And it was a real celebration of the friends and the family unit of which they were a part, and giving thanks for the relationship that they all shared. Covenant is about relationship. In fact, when John Wesley first wrote the covenant prayer, he used the marriage vows within it for better, for worse. Those words were part of the service. I'm not sure why that changed, although perhaps the change reflected that it's not so much a relationship of equals, but more like that parent-child relationship. Covenant relationship was rooted in what's summed up by one word in the Hebrew, hesed. It describes God's persistent and unconditional tenderness, kindness, and mercy. His commitment to us. Within the covenant of the Old Covenant, the word Old Testament, New Testament used to be Old Covenant, New Covenant. Within the Old Covenant, we discover that deep relationship that God offers us is to be a mutual one. That love and tenderness he shares, he invites us to respond with. It's not always easy for us to make our covenant promise. That passage from Romans talks about the need not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Part of that idea of baptism is metanoia, a change in the way that we think and the change in the way that we view the world and respond to it. Perhaps one of the tough things about the covenant prayer is that it challenges us to reflect on how in tune with God our lives are, how in tune with Jesus's thinking our thinking is. The covenant prayer says, "Your will, not mine, be done in all things." It's said, though, in the confidence that God's will for us is good and acceptable and perfect. It doesn't mean it will be easy. Doing the right thing, standing up for justice, thinking about our giving, both in money and in time, all these things are challenging choices. But I think that one of the things that helps me to make this prayer is the knowledge that it is about partnership. Our partnership with God, but also with one another. Whilst it's a very personal prayer, it's always made as a community of faith, and that is its great strength. We make a promise knowing that we are there to strengthen one another as we seek to keep it and live by it. The covenant prayer is renewing our faith, our humble trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, made together here as his family in this place. And finally, love is at its heart, as Jeremiah indicated it would be. God said that he would write his law on our hearts. We don't need to have lots of knowledge to understand God. The most important thing is that we know his love in our hearts and grow in our love of him. Saint Teresa of Avila said, "The extent to which we desire him is the extent to which we will find him." May we renew our desire to know his love more deeply and share that love and grace through how we live our lives, knowing that we do so together through God's grace. Amen. We sing, "Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed." God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ our Lord in his life, work, death and resurrection. In him all people may be set free from sin and its power and united in love and obedience. In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. We meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you with that longing to know you more deeply, that longing to serve you more faithfully. We also come aware of our own weaknesses, our own frailties and vulnerabilities, the ways in which we perhaps haven't served you as we wish we had. We ask, Lord, for your healing forgiveness to enable us to start afresh again this day. May we know that healing peace and grace deep within us and your love enfolding us today and always. Amen. Going to place the words of the actual covenant prayer on the screen with time for you just to reflect on those words. If you can't see the words, Jocelyn has some copies, so do indicate if you can't see. I'm just going to play a piece of music as we have chance to reflect on those words before we make that prayer our own together. So we've got some music, hopefully. Going to share some words about the covenant prayer, which will be on the screen, although it might be a bit small to read. Sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant, which God has made with us and with all who are called to be Christ's disciples. This means that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we accept God's purpose for us, and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Some bring honour, others bring reproach. Some are suitable for our natural inclinations and material interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. In others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ, who strengthens us. Let us therefore make this covenant of God our own. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. I'm going to invite you now, if you wish to stand with me as we in a moment will make this prayer together. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commands. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves anew to you. We are no longer our own, but yours. I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things, wherever you may place me, in all that I do and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me and when there is none, when I am troubled and when I am at peace. Your will be done, when I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Continue to hear that music for a few moments. We pray that we might serve you through how we live our lives. We especially today pray for those who are unwell. And we hold Christine Hassel in hospital in our prayers, asking that your healing hand may be upon her, that she might know your love enfolding her. We also rejoice today in the safe arrival of baby Finlay, grandson for Keith and Margaret Barlow, and baby brother for Hattie and William. And we ask your blessing on all of them. And we pray for our nation in all the turmoil and decision making that will continue to take place this week. We ask for peace and wisdom and grace. Accept our prayers, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to sing the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Our offering will be received as we sing and brought forward with the gifts for our table. God, we thank you for that love poured into our lives through your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you entrust us with the work of your church in this place. And we ask that you will accept the gifts of our lives and these gifts of money, that they might be used for your kingdom of love, peace, and grace. Amen. Within the covenant service, the other reading that's always included is a reading about communion. Communion, again, being the invitation to share in that relationship of love with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Reading is from Mark chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 22. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Amen.
Just a word about our communion. As always, it's an open table, which means all are invited to come forward and receive, and the stewards will invite you to come forward. But something different today, and just if you want, people found it helpful in the covenant service last week when talking about baptism. Sometimes it is good to do something physical as a part of our commitment to renewal. And there is water at the font, which is under the banner, "Come Holy Spirit." And after you've received communion, if you wish to, you might want to use the water to make a sign of the cross on your forehead. Again, renewing either your baptism vows or the baptism vows that your parents made on your behalf, confirming your choice to continue to follow Jesus. So responses will be on the screen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. For the life you gave us, for the life you lived among us, for the life you willingly laid down to defeat evil and death, for the life you took up again in triumph, and for the new life we find in you. We give thanks and we praise you. We say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We remember that on the night before Jesus died, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he blessed it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine, he blessed it and gave thanks, and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So, Lord, we ask that you will bless these gifts with your Holy Spirit, that they might be for us that deep awareness of your love and presence with us now and always. Amen. We break the bread and are invited to share in it. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. So may you know that covenant invitation to deep relationship. May you know that love within you, that peace deep within. And may you know that God enfolds you in his love. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. The body of our Lord Jesus given for you. And so we share in these prayers. We thank you, God of divine love, for welcoming us at your table, for offering yourself to us again, and for nourishing us with your presence and strength. We have joined ourselves with you, O God, with your life, with your spirit, with your purpose. Now we go to live this life of faith and to share it with others. In Jesus' compassionate, healing name. Amen. We sing, O Thou who camest from above.
Oh.
may we go filled with the blessing of God's love. May we go with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.